The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will be my servant. The Father will honor whoever serves me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Sisters, I know you weren't with us for the morning conference as you did your duties, responsibilities here at the retreat house. First of all, thank you again for all the hospitality. Just an early thanks. But secondly, I do hope in the Feast of St. Lawrence, maybe we're having grilled meats today and a barbecue or a cookout. I mean, I'd be very disappointed if we didn't have that. So if you do have to leave now to go get the grill ready, I'll give you communion privately later at 3 o'clock. We can meet up. Yeah. But how fitting would it be that we had... No, we said that earlier. Also, too, just on a funny note, I don't get into the... I know I mentioned the Jesuits a little bit last night just for clarity, but I did see a little recent interview that the Holy Father gave. He was being interviewed by a priest in Spanish, I think, and he was asking about... I think he may have been a fellow Jesuit, and the Irish Dominicans put this up on social media, and the Jesuit or this priest, he's in his Roman collar, is asking the Holy Father, this is a real thing, he goes... "What would you say to a young man who's thinking perhaps about becoming a Jesuit or discerning a Jesuit vocation?" And the Holy Father says, "Oh, I'd tell him to go become a Dominican." The Pope starts laughing. So I saw that recently. I thought I'd share. It's worth the laugh. So here we are thinking of Christ as divine physician. You know, we looked at some of the healing and the ills of the body this morning. Again, we're going to look at some of the ills of the soul and the healing of that. Last night, we looked at how Christ performs these miracles. And of course, it may have seemed that it was a little hard-hitting from Garrigou-Lagrange and Aquinas this morning in the sobriety. When we really do look at our own sinfulness, it is sobering. But that's the point of a retreat, you know, to take time to be away and take the hard, long looks at our spiritual life and our life, excuse me, our life in Christ. And why? Because we want to and we should. And then one of the paradoxes about the Christian faith and our life as a follower of St. Dominic, the more we do take those long, hard looks at how we live our Christian life, and even in the tiniest of corners, the more we see how much we're broken and how much more we need Christ, instead of just saying, "Well, I know I do a couple of wrong things. I'm okay. I'm sorry. I'm good." So it's based out of a desire to do our best, to get that A+ at the test at the end of our lives and to go in and meet the Lord at the end of our lives after we're judged face to face. So it's a good thing, even if sometimes it's a little rough or our older brothers in the Dominican order really put a magnifying glass to our life. But that's good. That is a good thing. Because like a St. Lawrence and all the great saints, and our own Holy Father Dominic, knowing our sinfulness and brokenness and the seriousness of our sin and the need for the divine physician, we can be happy about it. We can be a cheerful giver, as St. Dominic was known to be happy. In fact, I remember one of the first early things I ever met or heard from one of our friars was, "If you ever meet an unhappy Dominican, run away, you know, run away." And it is true, we are known for our joy. We are known for our lightness in the order. And I think, if I may say, my own experience of the Dominican Order, wherever I've gone now in 15 years, and those of you who've been in the Dominican Order a lot longer, I think it's part of the reason that we are not necessarily like culture warriors, or we're not angry about the state of the world. Even though we know we need change and right is right and wrong is wrong and truth is truth and lies are lies, yes, we're firm and we're solid and we're strong about those things, thank God, for pretty much the whole 8 centuries. But we're not angry at the world. We're not angry. We can thirst for justice, absolutely, in the life of the Beatitudes. But we kind of understand that this is the lot of life and that we can navigate it with a certain joy, acceptance, and cheerfulness. And that's a gift. It's a gift of the order, but it's also something that I believe God desires all Christians to have. And maybe some do get to have that more than others. But then what that allows us to do in that spirit of St. Dominic and that cheerful giving or that cheerfulness, even about the sorry state of our own souls and the sorry state of the world or the times in which we live, it allows then generosity. It allows growth and charity. So Paul then says, if you're going to sow sparingly, then you're going to reap sparingly. If you're going to sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. I remember in my own life as I was discerning the priesthood and I felt the call and I was in New York City and I began to think about, all right, Lord, where did you want me to go? And I had shared with you that maybe I shared on St. Dominic's Eve, we were at the cathedral together. I did originally only know Franciscan friars. Capuchin friars used to come out from New York City to my parish when I was a kid. And I really was drawn to their life and the joy and the kindness. I think there was something about them. And I didn't know about Dominican friars. And even though I had probably heard about St. Dominic in school as a kid, but didn't know the Dominican friars. And I remember I was working in New York City and I would go into the different churches to light candles and have time for prayer. It's one of the gifts of New York. There are churches all over the place and gorgeous churches, our architecture. If any of you have visited the Dominicans in New York, that's eventually what kind of pulled me in. I kept going back to our Church of St. Vincent Ferrer in New York City. It's probably the best example of Gothic architecture in the United States. And eventually I would meet the friars there and I'd meet the order really through the beauty of the church physically. However, though, there's a church up the street called St. Jean Baptiste, which is run by the Blessed Sacrament Fathers, the followers of St. Peter Julian Emard. And they have a beautiful Romanesque church. It was just 10 blocks up the street, still there. And I remember I was there in the evening. I was concluding my workday. Again, I'm a layman still. And I encountered a man who was at the back of the church who was crying. And he was really hideously disfigured in his face. And he had been a burn victim. So he approached me crying. And his hand was a little maldeformed. And he was a black man. And, you know, he wasn't homeless, but he definitely was distraught. And I was taken aback by his disfigurement. Burn victims are very, very hideous. There's a certain hideousness, if I may use the term, to being burned, even with reconstructive surgeries and the like. And then, of course, thank God, you know, I'd kind of let that go pretty quickly. And he was explaining the story about he needed money and he needed help. And of course, in New York City, you get that left and right. And in my work, fast forward for a moment as a friar, first of all, 90% of the homeless, I think it's either mental illness, mostly, a tiny bit of addiction, and then some people who just genuinely checked out of society, or a small percent where just the cards crumbled and everything, like they lost the job, the genuine, like all the support systems fell out on them. But most of it's mental illness. And I found with the homeless too, working in New York City, everybody has a story. But I also said to some of the homeless, you know, always tell us the truth because we can help you more. Just don't lie to us. It's the only thing, you know, because sometimes you would get lies from the homeless because they would want to manipulate things. And even if they did have their different crosses they were carrying, I said, just tell us the truth and we can always get you help faster or do more. So this gentleman, this is what I realized again as a priest and having the homeless at our door in New York. But as a layman here, this gentleman told me his story and moved with emotion. And I remember for the first time ever in my life, I'm about 28 years old. You know, I had a you know, I'd have a couple of bucks in my pocket, maybe have 50, 100 bucks in my wallet at all times. You're in the working world, you know, that's a kind of a big deal as you get independent. And I remember, I don't know how much I had, but I remember it was the first time ever in my life I just opened my wallet and gave somebody everything. Now, I'm not saying this to impress you or pat you on the back, but just to talk about that freedom of generosity and trust that can come from a joyful life that is trying to live the faith in an authentic way. It allows the generosity and charity to happen. And also, whether he was telling me the truth or not, I just didn't care in that moment. Here was a man in need, it was a genuine emotion, and I was able to help him get, he needed a train ticket. It's usually, a lot of times it's always, oh, I have to get a bus here. It's always travel, it seems like, with a lot of the stories you get. And some are cooked up, and you would learn how to discern after a while. But then still try and figure out how to help, even if you were getting, you know, conned a little bit by some of the homeless. So I remember the man had told me that his mother had been in the hospital. He had been in a house fire many years ago, but his current mother was sick in Trenton, New Jersey, which is about a 90-minute train ride from New York City, and he needed to get down to see her in the hospital. And I remember, this is kind of interesting, I asked, what was the name of the hospital? And he said, oh, St. Francis down in Trenton, New Jersey. So fast forward, and I remember, I can't remember now, but I do remember he gave me her full name. So let's just say Bernice Johnson, right? That was the woman's name. And I happen to remember the name. And my work found my, I would work on the road in and out of New York with my car. And I found myself, I don't know, maybe about a week and a half later, driving through Trenton, New Jersey, and I see St. Francis Hospital. It's in the evening. I remember the sign lit up on the side of the hospital building. And I thought, you know what? Let me see if I was right or wrong, and let me see if this guy was telling me the truth or not. I'm going to call the hospital. And of course, you can call hospitals, give names. You might not be able to get medical information, but you can find out if the person is indeed listed. That is legit and legal. That's not protected hospital info. So I called up the hospital and I said, oh yes, hi, I'm curious, do you have a Bernice Johnson admitted? He may have even, no, he didn't tell me the floor, but I think I knew, I think I had one more other little detail that he revealed to me or shared with me that enabled me to ask the proper question when the operator pulled up the manifest of the hospital to get the right name. So she said, yeah, hold on, let me check. And she said, oh no, I'm sorry, she was discharged yesterday. So it was indeed a legit story, it was true. And I remember being very moved that, first of all, the Lord had had me in a point in my faith as a young man to just trust him and be generous. Just do it. And again, what was it? Maybe 50, 60 bucks I gave him? I can't remember. And then also to trust in the genuineness of the act of charity and the fact that it was a true story. Again, I didn't think he was a liar, but I thought, hey, let me try. Let me see. And sure enough, it was. So in our life, as we follow the Lord and have this generosity of the divine physician, as we joke, no copays, no insurance, always open, 24/7 access, and you and I as Catholics having access to the sacramental life, the best soul insurance, if you will, forget health insurance, the best care for the human being that we can have, you know, the fact that we have this great gift. And by the way, don't forget, priests need priests too to get my own soul insurance and soul and health care, if you will. That indeed the charity that propels us and the love of Christ on Calvary that Lawrence knew to be even able to the point of being tortured to death and yet remain in a joyous countenance and even to the point of a little humor allows us then to lose our lives in the world and allows us then to gain the life of heaven. So when we find ourselves being petty, we find ourselves just wrestling with our sins, or even the deep dive and the magnifying glass on the soul that a retreat allows, let us not get discouraged. Let us continue to ask the Lord to keep us generous. Let us continue to trust in Him keeping us on that road closer to Him in our life following St. Dominic. And then we'll have a lot of cheer.